a stash of here of things that I might need. Okay, I'm not used to doing this. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Lord's house. Got kind of wintry day today, but it's all good. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did, and I survived all the grandkids and great-grandkids, except for a broken toe, so, you know, it's all good. First, I'd like us all to welcome our interim pastor, Jackie Buck. She had kind of a rough start this morning, so she would appreciate a hand, I'm sure. I spoke with Pastor Dennis yesterday, and he's doing really well. A significant amount of his pain has gone away. He has taken himself off the pain meds and the muscle relaxers, and so he's doing well. He's doing well. The prayers are working. So let's keep those up for him, and hopefully we'll get to see him in a couple of weeks. You don't want to miss this year's Christmas party. And if you don't want to miss it and you haven't bought tickets, you need to do it today because today's the last day. And Barb's sitting out there ready to take your money from you. It's a great time if you haven't been before. It's really, we have a great fellowship, and it's just a lot of fun. Excuse me. The new directories are also for sale out at the foyer table. I think today's the last day that Cindy's going to be doing that. I don't see Cindy. Yes, today's the last day you're going to be in the foyer. And then they'll be in the church office. Carol will have some if you miss them. So that's all good. Please stick around after 11 o'clock service. We're going to have our annual hanging of the greens, getting the place ready to start Advent, which starts next week. And also in your bulletin, there's an insert about our Christmas caroling, which is happening on the 10th. If you want to be part of the Christmas caroling, sign that up, because the Education Committee will be providing a light lunch. And then we'll break into groups and see how many of our homebound and elderly people we can bring a little Christmas cheer to. So just do that, put it in this offering tray. It's all good. Chris Martinson is still doing the Christmas ornaments, but he's going to cut you off because he needs time to actually make them. So do you want orders by next Sunday? Next Sunday's your last, this week's your last week to order them, people. So if you want one of those ornaments, and if you haven't seen them, they're really, really nice. You'll find more information about all of this in today's bulletin. And if you have any other questions, you can always call Carol at the office. She's got all the scoop on all of this stuff. So Ryan, would you please lead us in our call to worship?
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. You, Lord, are all we have, and you give us all we need.
Our future is in your hands.
How wonderful are your gifts to us, how good they are.
You will show us the path that leads to life. Your presence fills us with joy.
And brings us pleasure forever. We'll now sing hymn number 91, stanzas 1, 4, and 5 of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. On this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him. Sacred throng, we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him.
Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to offer you praise and worship this Lord's Day. We pray that the meditations of our hearts and our words of praise will be acceptable in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. As it was in the beginning.
a moment and say good morning to everybody.
Right after, in place of where I'm doing the children, we have a little children's message.
Okay, that's all right. That'll work.
That'll work for you?
I'll just stand right here. That's ready to shift off.
So are you getting that farm closer to selling?
So if we can be seated, please. So this morning, we want to make sure that we keep all of our prayer list, people in our thoughts and prayers in the coming days, but also we need to add Jake Otto and his family to the prayer list, as Mary and Otto passed away this past week. And so there'll be further updates on how a memorial service for her in the coming weeks. Right now, there's not a decision made on that. And also Tom Bosworth is in the hospital with pneumonia and a lung infection of some kind that they are trying to track down. So if we'll add those two to our prayer list, that would be excellent. Thank you.
Will you join with me in prayer? Most loving God, we come into your presence this morning with many things on our minds. Some of us have lost someone special in our lives through death. Others are suffering the loss of jobs. Some are carefully watching the news with hope for the release of hostages held by Hamas. All of us are concerned about the continuing conflict in the part of the world which includes the area of the Holy Land. We pray for peace. We pray for leaders with wisdom and patience to seek new avenues for living side by side. As we approach the season of remembering the arrival of your Son on our earth, we ask that you open our eyes to new paths, guide our lives in making decisions and our strengths to try new things. We are grateful for this congregation, Lord. Strengthen their ministry in the coming days and weeks, as we also ask that you grant healing and strength to their pastor. Be with each of us as we pray together the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I've been to this table before, not this particular one. It's the first time for this one, but it's not the first time I've stood at this table. In churches across many states, I've had the opportunity to worship in a setting involving this table. One time it was even at a general assembly, where 10,000 people at the same time were being served the elements of communion. And even a huge crowd didn't take away how personal this table was for me. I also had the opportunity for both of my parents to lead in a communion service at the close of their funerals, because that was how important it had been to them. For those of you who don't know me as well as some of you do, my dad too was a pastor. And so I grew up knowing that this was one table that I would always belong in front of, or maybe behind. I didn't know I was going to go into ministry at the time, but I knew when I was here that I was welcome. And we extend that same welcome to all who understand Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you join in singing the communion hymn? That table that Jesus met with his disciples, he took the cup, and after he had given it to them, after pouring it out, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my body, and the bread is a symbol of my body." You are invited to share in participating with our Lord in this service. Indeed, Jesus took those items and invites us to eat and to drink. Thank you, O God, for Jesus' insightful ways of teaching us things that make it easy to remember. As we share in this table, be with us so that we can carry forth his mission here on earth.
Lord, today is your blessing to us as we gather at this table to take of these emblems. We are reminded of how much you love us. Let us also remember your sacrifice, forgiveness, and grace. Lord, bless this bread and this cup and all who take of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
We have received so much from God, and through Jesus have learned that we are to reach out to others. And so I invite you to share not only your time, but your talents as well in preparing this church. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the sunshine this morning. We're so grateful for the beautiful day yesterday, watching the snowflakes fall. We're so blessed here in this church, in this community, in this congregation. We just thank you for all the blessings you give us. And as we take up these tithes and offerings, may they go forth to feed the hungry, clothe the cold, and do all the good things that you intend for it to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Obviously, I'm feeling my way along here, but it's a delight to be with you and that I was able to make it safely and to share in the coming weeks and get acquainted with all of you, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to start this morning with the scripture reading, and I've added a few verses to what I had printed. Because after I got to working with it, it seemed a little incomplete. So we're going to start with verse 2 and go through verse 5, if you want to read along with you in the Bible that you have with you. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multitude exultation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. I have a hunch some of you thought this was kind of a weird sermon title. Actually, I thought it was sort of a weird one when I came up with it. I would like to share another adventure that I had one time going out to preach in a church I had never been to before. We'd had a little bit of a snowstorm the night before. This was from West Virginia. And I had to cross a bridge to go into Ohio to get to the church, which was also in West Virginia. It was one of those kind of things. And whoever the intelligent person who designed that bridge, just as you got to the end of the river, there was a sharp left-hand turn. Now imagine yourself touching the brakes gently because you know the bridge is going to be slick, and suddenly your car scrapes along that entire section of bridge to get you back down to ground level. I don't think I have ever been as scared in a car as I was that particular time. It was even worse than it was today, because I would have fallen in the river if it hadn't worked. So I was very glad I didn't fall in any rivers or go in any ditches this morning, and so I could be here with you. As I begin to prepare this morning, or yet this week, this Sunday that occurs between Thanksgiving and Advent is sort of unusual. Most times, Advent starts the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We don't always have this extra Sunday. But this particular year, because of the fact that the month started so early, or late in the week, we wound up with an extra week. So I decided maybe it would be appropriate to focus on the concept of what it meant to expect a Messiah. This concept was a part of the religious beliefs far before the arrival of Jesus. There were many beliefs from religious writers from Egypt, Mesopotamia, various other areas of the Middle East. And many of those texts spoke of a divine king who would bring deliverance and prosperity. There were many descriptions of this kingship and the priesthood that would go along with it, and the interrelationships between them. It was considered that the biblical idea of the Messiah was divinely revealed, not originating in human thought. You see, the Messiah would be recognized through the anointing, much like what we read about during the times of David and Solomon. And this anointed person was often chosen, designated, and qualified, hopefully, and consecrated to a position with correlating tasks. There were some scholars who even insisted that only an actual reigning king could be considered as a Messiah. Well, that was not really consistent with the biblical revelation. True, the Messiah was considered to be as royal, a royal person, but didn't necessarily have political power. This personal aspect was referred to us as a narrower view of the messianic idea. But the person is not to be limited to royalty, because the biblical messianic idea includes priestly and prophetic offices as well. Now, the messianic concept has a wider dimension than just the royal or the priestly or the prophetic. Included in this wider view are the characteristics, the tasks and goals, and the consequences of that messianic person arriving in the world. Thus, a passage in Scripture would be considered it that the Messiah was going to be a character who could even take over the government of the day. Now, that's kind of an abbreviated understanding of a concept of the Messiah. There's way too much to get into this morning. But I hope that you understand that those who were living in the time before Jesus really expected the Messiah to come as a warrior. And thus we come to how I chose my sermon title. For those of you who are old enough to remember it, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in 1967 was considered a semi-shocking movie. It starred Sidney Poitier, Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, and Katharine Houghton. The setting was a family dinner where the adult daughter brings her boyfriend home to meet the family. Her boyfriend just happens to be a black doctor, and the reaction of the white parents was what could have been expected in that time. It might be interesting to imagine what would happen if that movie were to come out today. I'm not sure it would be better received than it was then. But that's not really the connection I'm thinking of today. That long-held concept of a Messiah, the one who's going to come to the Jewish nation to raise them up in power and strength against those who oppressed them, doesn't really fit with our Jesus. But although at the time, that was really what people were looking for, and we couldn't blame them. The Romans had invaded the area, and they had control, and they had appointed Herod as their king, which is not exactly a good choice. As a matter of fact, I recently was seeing some pictures my brother and his wife took over of the Holy Land. By the way, they got trapped after the war got over there. They barely got back. But they had a picture of the castle that King Herod had built way up on the top of a cliff because he didn't want anybody to be able to get up there and get into the castle. He forgot to think about the fact there was no way to get provisions into that castle. Don't think he was overly bright, to be perfectly honest. I looked at that and I'm going, how would he get stuff? I mean, it was above a sea ship cliff. And so we have to admit that Herod did have his flaws. And that Jewish leaders of the day had to almost tiptoe around all the different powers in order to be able to lead their followers. Religious leaders weren't highly regarded unless they were willing to follow all the mandates of the power groups. And so they were focusing on the age-old tradition and praying for the arrival of the much-promised Messiah. They were tired of being the lower rung on that power scale, and they dreamed of the time when Jehovah would come to free them from their difficulties and pain. I think you can see where I'm going in my connection to the movie. Parents had their expectations of their daughter. They were excited she'd found someone special, but it wasn't what they were expecting at all. Perhaps the same is true for us today. We're looking forward to the arrival of the Messiah too. He's not going to come in a flurry of military might or great oratory. He won't be elected to a high office or fill a sports arena with thousands of people. He comes quietly in the form of a small child. Not really what they expected. He didn't surround himself with great scholars. Think about the people he chose as disciples. Not really what we expected. He didn't even fight back when he was arrested. Not what we were expecting from a Messiah. You see, Jesus is an unexpected Messiah who taught us to know what love is, taught us how to love God, and how to talk to God, and how to listen for God's response. Jesus taught us that all people were our neighbors, whether they looked like us or not, spoke the same language, or even lived on the other side of the world. In my mind, Jesus was the best surprise that the church would ever receive. And that continues to be true every day. It's up to us to keep looking for those surprising things that Jesus taught us about ways that we can serve in our space, in our churches, in our community, in our homes, and around the world. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to celebrate the real Messiah, not some big political person or what somebody searching for power. Jesus brought us quiet power, and help us to know that that quiet power is always what we need to exhibit. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn, the invitation hymn. Let's stand and sing number 25.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, who rules all creation. O my soul, worship the wellspring of health and salvation. O ye who hear, now to God's temple draw. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely God's goodness and mercy here daily attend. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with great love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all of earth's peoples and and breath, give thanks for manifold graces. The Amen sound from God's people again. Gladly forever sing praises.
As we go out, O Lord, guide our steps, our thoughts, and our actions so that indeed we proclaim the real Messiah. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and